Now, it was the bailout deal which sent shockwaves through Europe's single currency zone. It's a year since Cyprus was saved from bankruptcy by a $14 billion international rescue plan. A bank and government debt crisis had pushed Cyprus to the edge. What caused the shock was that this was the first bailout to target the bank accounts of savers. Well, the BBC's Lucy Burton was in the capital Nicosia a year ago, and now she's returned to see how Cyprus has been faring since. Lucy, over to you. Where are you?
Hello, Mike. Well, I'm standing in Freedom Square in Nicosia. It's not actually quite as grand as the name might suggest. It's actually pretty small. There are a couple of cafes around the edges, and there's groups of young men sitting and smoking on the benches, enjoying a little bit of the last warmth of the day. There's even a bright red and yellow tourist train park up on the side. And luckily, perhaps, you've just missed the sound of some boy racers whizzing around the outside of the square on motorbikes. It's a very different scene from this time last year. Then this square was rammed with huge satellite dishes. Dozens of reporters from all over the world lined up in front of cameras, pointed at the branch of the troubled Laiki Bank behind them. It had lent more money than it had. And to make matters worse, it had taken a gamble on slightly dodgy Greek bonds. The bet didn't pay off and it ran out of cash. Those mistakes, along with the government's reluctance to overhaul the grossly inflated finance sector, left this small, idyllic holiday island teetering on the edge of bankruptcy. After some delay, the politicians went cap in hand to Europe for a bailout. As they negotiated the terms, the doors of the bank stayed firmly shut for 2 weeks. And I remember watching the queues get longer and longer of people at ATMs trying to take what money they could out of the ailing banks. Well, in fact, the branch behind me, I went and stuck my nose on the window earlier, and if you press your nose against it, the cashier desks are empty and gathering dusts, and there's a few sad for sale signs in the window. That's because as part of the bailout deal, Laiki Bank was shut down, and all their uninsured depositors who had more than 100,000 euros, that's about 140,000 US dollars, had their savings wiped out and turned into shares. Those at the bigger bank, the Bank of Cyprus, lost 47.5%. But there was a sense of relief a year ago. The families we spoke to felt they escaped from severe financial trauma. It was thought that the only people affected by this raid would be the rich Russians and other foreigners who'd long used Cyprus as something of a financial haven. But it turns out a year on, that wasn't quite the full picture. Ordinary people did suffer too. Yesterday, I spoke to a British Cypriot who lost about 116,000 US dollars, all of his life savings.
Well, I've come to a cafe in Nicosia to meet Panikos Dimitriou, and he was one of those people that lost a huge amount of money during the bailout. Panikos, taking you back to last year, what happened?
My wife passed away, and I wanted to come back to my roots. And I decided to make a new start, fresh back in, back home, Cyprus. And I brought my money over. Obviously, I put it in the bank. Where else would anybody put their money in? I put it into Laiki Bank, which I had in the UK as well.
And then, of course, this time last year, the crisis happened. Tell me what happened to you and to your money during that time.
One morning, you got over 180,000 euros in sterling, and the following morning, or 3 days later, you're left with half of that, and you're given three pieces of paper saying this is what you got left of your £70,000, which was taken away, was stolen from me.
And then so you have this period of, I suppose, you're just in shock, really, that you've lost all your money.
Well, 3 months, nobody could speak to me for 3 months after that.
So how tough is life now for you?
It's very tough because, I mean, with the money I had, I couldn't plan just retiring. I didn't need a lot of money over here. Now, all of a sudden, half that money's gone. The other half belongs to my sons. So I'm 60 years old. And what do? Find a job in an economy that there is no jobs, or go back to the UK and start from where? From zero. The whole idea of the European Union trying to cut the laundered money, but they didn't. They caught mostly the Cypriots. It's people like me who worked all their lives, who did no wrong. The only wrong we did was putting in Laiki, instead of a bank, it should have been called Laiki Casino.
When they do lift the capital controls, and it's suggested that they may lift them at least by the end of the year, would you immediately take all your money out? What are you going to do?
I've already started taking my money out of the country. I've gone back, all my sterling, what sterling I've got left over, I've taken it back to the UK. At least there's laws, there's the ombudsman, there's people that protect. Here, To call it corrupt is an understatement. We came back, we invested in our country, in buying properties, bringing our money from the UK. And as far as I'm concerned, my home, the island of Cyprus, have stuck their hand in my pocket. So far, it's come out of my trouser leg.
Well, things obviously feel very bleak for Panikos there. But what about for the economy at large? As you probably would have guessed, GDP contracted last year by 5.1%. The good news is that it's not as bad as the economists had predicted. The bad news, again, is that the unemployment levels are at a record level thanks to the bank closures. Over 17% of the population don't have a job. That figure is much higher if you look at youth unemployment, around 40%. One girl told me she dropped off her friend at Larnaca Airport this morning, heading for Spain to find a job. The other big problem here is that despite the deleveraging of the banks, lenders are still very exposed. About half the Bank of Cyprus's loans are non-performing. That means that the payments are more than 3 months overdue. Nonetheless, the Cypriot president has gone so far to say that Cyprus is on the road to an economic miracle. I asked his finance minister, Haris Georgiadis, if that was truly the case.
We managed to overcome what was a crisis of unimaginable proportions, and we are left standing and on the road to recovery. That could have been described as a miracle on its own. We are down to earth. We're not trying to paint a rosy picture. We fully acknowledge that the economy is still in difficulty. The banking system is still recovering from the blow, as is the economy as a whole. But yes, I think we have done remarkably well given the magnitude of the problems that regrettably were allowed to reach crisis proportions that they did last year.
Why do you think it has been so resilient?
The primary reason, I think, is down to the key sectors, the productive sectors of the economy, which, despite the difficulties, despite the lack of credit in the economy, despite the reputational damage that we have sustained last year, they remain strong and essentially in business as usual. Our tourist industry, our business services industry, shipping industry, these pillars of the Cypriot economy, essentially, they remain intact. We are at the same time, with a very determined manner, dealing with all the shortcomings, because shortcomings there were, both in the public sector. We allowed the creation of an oversized, wasteful public sector, which was bearing down on the economy, and we also allowed the creation of an overextended and poorly supervised banking sector, which was also led into difficulties, admittedly, not only because of local shortcomings, but also because of some basic European decisions, like the haircut on the Greek debt, which essentially derailed the banking system.
How has the last year been for the smaller businesses, the businesses that might have been affected by the haircut, because of course some businesses do have over 100,000 euros? What's life like for them?
Well, it's not so much the loss of wealth, the immediate effect of the bail-in. It's more the fact that we have moved from a protracted period of unsustainable credit expansion to a period of essentially no credit at all. Credit lines have been severed. There is no credit in the economy because the banking system is trying to correct, essentially, to fix itself. This is what is bearing down on the small and medium-sized enterprises, which form the core of our economy. And being obliged to operate in a creditless environment is obviously challenging. The government is basically doing its best to clear the way, to remove the obstacles of bureaucracy, the obstacle of unsustainable public expenditure, to maintain stable taxes. We are not raising taxes further. It's a very clear commitment, which is at the same time a very tangible signal to the SMEs that we shall create a business-friendly environment through which they will be able to remain in business and to recover and to move ahead.
Haris Georgiadis speaking there. Well, sometimes when you interview politicians, you don't always get a sense of how ordinary people feel, of whether life is truly getting back to normal. Well, before we came on air, I asked a few people how they're feeling now.
So I'm just coming to join Andreas and a group of his friends. They are sitting around a table in the still warmth of the evening, drinking ouzo. And Andreas, thinking back to this time last year when the crisis erupted, what were your feelings then? What was it like living here during that time?
It was very difficult. It was scary because of the media. And we understand that our lives was going to change a lot. And it was a very difficult situation because the future was unknown to us.
So a year on, has life settled down a bit?
Things is a bit now steady. Everybody makes his budget in a way that he can survive, but everybody is optimistic because we live in a sunny island. So everybody have to think like this, I think.
Well, sitting with Andreas and the group of friends is Christina. Christina, what's life like for you now?
Many things have changed. The people, the situations, everything. I think crisis make a big problem to everybody.
Thank you very much. And I'll leave you to your ouzo and the rest of the evening. Thank you very much.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.